بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. Respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That yesterday we had begun the second juz of the Holy Quran, continuing with Surah Al-Baqarah. And in the first quarter, which was recited last night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of a very important event which had taken place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that after the hijrah, the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara, initially the qibla for salah was towards Baytul Maqdis, Masjidul Aqsa. After approximately 16 months, the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had come down that the qibla should now be changed from Masjidul Aqsa to Masjidul Haram, to Baytullah. And as we know, the enemies of Islam, the enemies of Deen, as we find today also, that they leave no opportunity, they do not let any opportunity go by, except that they try to ridicule, mock at, scoff at the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it came to the changing of the qibla also, this was the case. And we find the disbelievers, and in particular the Jews of Medina Munawwara, they began to ridicule and scoff at the Muslimin. And one objection that they raised, na'udhu billah, is that they questioned the Muslims and said, that is your Allah confused, that he does not know one day the Qibla is towards Masjidul Aqsa, one day it is towards Baytullah. So the answer to this objection Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the first verse which was recited tonight, that is, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. The true piety, true devotion, true obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got nothing to do with which direction a person faces, be it the east or the west. All direction, all space, all time belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whichever direction he chooses, that is his decree. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then expounds on the quality of birr. If we look into the Arabic language, this word birr refers to that which encapsulates and encompasses all types of good, inwardly and outwardly. And Mufassirin have mentioned based on this verse that there are three pertinent aspects which this quality of birr is made up of. The first aspect, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. True and complete faith, belief and conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's zat, his qualities, his asma, his sifat, but in every law, every hukam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. For a person to have complete belief, faith and conviction in this. The second aspect which birr is made up of, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ وَالْيَتَامَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the aspect of good deeds, righteous deeds, giving charity, paying a person zakat, establishment of salah, good and righteous deeds. This is the second aspect. And the third aspect which the quality of birr is made up of, وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا. Those who when they make any promise, any pledge, they fulfill their promise. وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. And when they are faced with any difficulty, any hardship, then they bear this difficulty with patience and with tolerance. Alluding to good character, good values, good morals. Mufassirin explained that that person who will bring into his life these three qualities, that is complete and perfect faith, conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, good and righteous deeds, and together with that good morals and values, good akhlaq and character, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Those are the ones who are true in their iman. They are true in their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. And those are the ones who have true taqwa. If we have to look at the remainder of Surah Al-Baqarah, then many injunctions, laws pertaining to our daily life have been mentioned. And Mufassirin explained that although the topics may differ and the subject matter is very vast, but each and every one of these injunctions is in reality merely expounding on this concept of birr, of righteousness, of obedience, of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One or two injunctions which have been mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَ. Allah ta'ala speaks about the aspect of retaliation, or what we say revenge, which in simple terms, somebody causes harm to you, Sharia has given you permission to cause that amount of harm to him. Somebody takes your life, Sharia has given your family members permission to take his life. And then Quran makes a very outstanding statement and declaration, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. That, O people of intelligence, this law of qisas, of retaliation, does not take lives, but rather it gives life. This is a very bold statement. What does it mean? That Sharia is giving you the permission. Somebody has caused harm to you, you may harm him back. But at the same time, Allah is saying that qisas gives life, it does not take life. If we look at the West and the so-called advanced governments of today's time, with different lawyers, people with different qualifications, and hours have been spent in perfecting the law book. But yet, if we have to look on the streets of those countries, we find complete lawlessness, murder, robbery, chaos is taking place. And yet, if we look 1400 years ago, the city of Madinatul Munawwara, where complete Sharia law was implemented, we find peace, we find contentment. What is the reason for this? It's because when it comes to this law of qisas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. That if you have to exercise your right of retaliation, then you are only permitted to harm the person to that extent that he had harmed you, nothing more. From this we understand that in every law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there is complete equity, complete justice, complete fairness. If we look at the law of the West, either the criminal has got all the rights, or the person whom some crime has been done to, he has got all the rights. But when it comes to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may have murdered somebody, you hurt somebody, you injured somebody. And yes, punishment will be meted out to you. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upholds your rights as well. Complete justice, fairness and equity. This is why this declaration has been made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in qisas, in retaliation, there is no taking of life, rather there is giving of life. And from here we understand that every law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it is implemented correctly, a person follows it with complete conviction in it, then this will bring about peace, it will bring about contentment, it will bring about happiness. One other aspect that has been mentioned is the prohibition of alcohol. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. When it comes to the prohibition of alcohol, we find that this was one of those laws which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually prohibited. This verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs the Muslimin that yes, there may be some benefit in khamar, in wine, in intoxicants. But at the same time, the evil far outweighs the good and the benefit. So targhib is given, encouragement is given. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum are educated regarding the ills and the harms of khamar, of intoxicants. Thereafter, on one occasion, a group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum had got together and they partook of meals. And thereafter, as was the custom, as was the norm, they began to consume alcohol. The time of Salah then comes. One Sahabi steps forward. And due to his intoxicated state, he begins to make mistakes in the Salah. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. This was the second verse regarding prohibition of khamar. That all those who have brought iman, do not come close to Salah whilst you are intoxicated. In other words, at the time of Salah, you are not allowed to be intoxicated. The rest of the time, it is permissible. And thereafter, the final verse that came down, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then completely prohibited all forms of intoxicants. But what was the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought down this prohibition gradually? Because ulama explain that there is a principle, فِطَامُ الْعَادَةِ أَشَدُّ مِنْ فِطَامِ الرَّضَاعَ. What does this mean? That a person who has got an old habit in him, something which he is used to, for many years he has been practicing on something, to wean him off this habit is more difficult than weaning a young child off breast milk. Why? Because this is now ingrained in him. It has become part of his makeup. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands the makeup of man, that the culture in that time, wine was prevalent, consumption of alcohol was something which was the norm. And if Sharia had to try and stop it immediately, then the response would not have been satisfactory. If we look in America many years back, An attempt was made to try and curtail the consumption of alcohol. Many different laws were passed. Lawyers got together and the constitution was changed. And what was the result? That there was an alarming increase in the consumption of alcohol. What was the difference? If we look, when these verses were revealed, one Sahabi had just come back from an expedition, a business outing, in which he had invested all his capital in a large consignment of alcohol. He comes into Madinatul Munawwara and he hears that alcohol has now been prohibited. So what does he do? He takes this consignment, he hides it away on a hilltop, and he comes down into the city of Madinatul Munawwara. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says to him, O Nabi of Allah, all my capital, all my profit has been invested in alcohol. What do I do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, this is the law of Allah. It is now prohibited. The Sahabi goes immediately without any hesitation. With his bare hands, he takes every bottle and crushes it down that hilltop. This was the response. The reason being that in every law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man's best interest has been taken into account. Allah knew that they were unable to do it immediately. Therefore, this prohibition was sent down gradually. And when the prohibition became final, then we find the response was immediate. So for us to understand that every law, every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, in today's time, we may be unable to understand the wisdom behind certain injunctions and laws of Sharia. But just as we understand that our eyesight is limited, our hearing is limited, our speech is limited, similarly our intellect and our understanding is also limited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen is complete and perfect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to realize the value of Sharia, the value of deen that we have. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.